Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Twice a week, we interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how to break through the noise and capture the audience's attention. Today's guest is Aubrey Strobel. Aubrey is head of communications at Lolli, a rewards application that gives you Bitcoin when you shop at your favorite stores.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. You know, I've interacted with you a lot on Twitter. I really like that, you know, you're sort of not just running a corporate social account, but you're doing it for yourself. I think one of the things that, you know, a lot of people in social do is they talk so much about social strategy, but they don't do it for themselves. What was sort of the motivation for you to, you know, run your own personal Twitter account and really grow it to where it's grown to now?
Yeah, I've been kind of watching Twitter recently and seen a lot of people talk about this subject in particular, about employee branding and personal branding. And it's something that I actually pitched Alex when I first, you know, kind of was like, I'm interested in Lolli. It was like about a year ago. And I was like, the barstool model, now sort of the morning brew model, is what really works. People are kind of interested in the talent and they're interested in following individuals. And it's why the barstool model took off so well, because people really feel like they can relate to those people. And that's actually how I got connected to Alex, was through Barstool. I have a friend that worked there, and then was like, you know, you should talk to my friend Aubrey. And then, you know, things kind of, one thing led to another. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to work for Lolli. It's a great product. So yeah, I totally believe in that. Building your personal brand is very valuable, not just for the company that you work for, but down the line when you want to move somewhere else, it makes you a more valuable candidate.
So, you know, your experience previously, you were at an agency before you became, you know, head of communications at Lolli. You know, what were sort of the differences coming in where, okay, I was familiar with an agency role and now I'm running communications. How did you adjust to that? You know, what were some of the good learning experiences that you had from the agencies, but what were some of the things you had to learn on the job that you didn't learn from your agency experience?
Yeah, I think from the agency perspective, everyone thinks like, what does a head of comms do? Because it's like, if you work with the head of comms on the agency side, you're doing a lot of the PR work. But there's just so much that goes into the job, especially the startup level, I guess. You know, I handle marketing, a lot of the comms, a lot of the public relations, social, even doing spokesperson stuff like this. So it's really grown quite a bit. On the agency side, I was working on, you know, 5 or 6 clients a day. And it was fulfilling because you got a variety of trying different things out, which I think is valuable for people who are starting their career. But if you really want to grow a brand and really get behind something eventually, I really do feel like you need to make that transition to a head of comms internal position. So I'm happy that I was able to be effective at Lolli and come in and be able to start growing something and build its presence online.
So you guys didn't have a formal, you know, head of comms before you joined, or really any official, you know, communications folks. How did you, you know, help the company transition from what I assume was a very informal strategy there to a more formal strategy and helping execute on the tactics? You know, what were the some of the things straight off the bat you did to help, you know, start building that strategy?
Yeah, well, I think the mission has never changed with Lolli. And the brilliance of Lolli is that when I was pitched the idea of what the product is, which is just, you know, earning free Bitcoin when you shop online with all these top merchants like Priceline and Lululemon and you know, Groupon, it's so pitchable. It's so sellable, especially for a PR comms person. Like, that is something that people can understand at a basic level. Like, your mom or your aunt or your uncle, they can understand that idea. They understand cash back and they understand rewards. And it's not clunky like a lot of the other crypto projects. And people can have trust with these other brands, because the people trust, you know, shopping with Expedia, they trust shopping with Harry's. So there's already that trust established for the consumer. And I thought that was really important. But in terms of just the mission, it was always like bringing Bitcoin to the masses. How do we make Bitcoin more accessible to people? And before Lolli, there was not a really easy on-ramp. You could buy it off an exchange, which I think, you know, is several processes to get to the buy part of it. And I think a lot of people who have never bought crypto before feel a little intimidated being on an exchange alone. They're like, am I safe? You know, is my what's the privacy here? Like they feel very uncomfortable with it. And then the other option is mining. And no, and people aren't buying mining rigs and mining Bitcoin in their homes. Like your aunt's not going to do that. It's just not realistic. And so I thought that the mission and the product was genius. So building a strategy, obviously, around something that is a pretty sellable product was not super hard, but it is about reaching those people and educating them about Bitcoin and educating about how it's safe and that they're really not investing their own money with Lolli. Like you're just getting rewards. If Bitcoin tanks, you've lost nothing. If it kills, like you could be a millionaire. You know, it's like it's a very good low risk model for them. Not sure if that answered the strategy side of it, but yeah. That's more the product side.
No, that's a great answer. So when you're thinking about, your outreach strategy, are you focused on sort of, two subsets of you have an audience where like they know nothing about, cryptocurrency and you're trying to bring them onto the masses, but are you also targeting, like the industry? Because I've seen you all in publications such as The Block, right? How do you sort of are those two different strategies, or are they sort of, a bit combined and you tailor towards each audience?
Yeah, I think you have to tweak it a bit towards each audience. I think that for the crypto, Bitcoin, Twitter community, they're pretty aware of Lolli's presence already. Some people don't realize how many stores we're partnered with. There's different things like that, but for the most part, I think people have a pretty good brand awareness of who Lolli is, what we're trying to do. And I think for us, we're really looking long term. We're looking at how do we become like a Honey or like a Rakuten down the line. And so we're trying to be involved in the cash back side of those conversations. But yeah, it's two different strategies. I really do think that you know, our company is not too hard to understand anyway. It's not like we have, you know, this really technical side to Lolli. It's, you know, we're giving away free Bitcoin. It's really hard to hate a company that's doing that. Like that's why we're pretty embraced and loved by both groups. And I think it's just really an educational piece for the people who've never held any Bitcoin before. And we're actually a lot of people's first Bitcoin wallet because they can hold their Bitcoin with us. We want to teach them how to get it off of Lolli and then onto some cold storage eventually once they start accumulating a bit more. But yeah, it's really important to us to really make sure our language and our messaging is aligned so that mainstream audiences can understand it.
So, I think I've had a lot of guests on where, right, they're selling a product for you all. I think you have, two challenges. You have to sell Lolli, but you also have to sell the cryptocurrency industry. In your approach, are you selling sort of buy into, cryptocurrency Bitcoin first and then buy into Lolli, or are you sort of saying it do it together? Do you have industry partners and industry folks you work with that are, also helping try to sell the idea of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin to the masses?
Yeah, so I think one good thing about our model is that it's pretty streamlined in terms of that we are only offering Bitcoin back as of now. And those are our plans, and we've talked about that. And I think Bitcoin being the first cryptocurrency and a little bit more trusted than some of the altcoins that have pumped and dumped over the years, that people have a little bit more trust there. And I think it's, you know, people confuse, you know, Bitcoin and then like altcoins. And I think that's kind of where the I come in and explain how Bitcoin was created, the ideology behind it. And a lot of it is talking about money, really. And we write on our blog a lot of these educational pieces so that we can direct our users to them if they have questions on all of these topics. So it is that we try to like just hone in on one area, and I think that makes it a little bit easier for us. I'm not sure if that totally answered your question. I mean, there was like a second part to it.
No, that I think that answers it well. I think, the other part that I was curious with, you talked about education, which I want to get back to, but do you also partner with industry folks in helping advance industry, or is many of your sort of strategic communication goals, being accomplished within the brand and not with, external folks. I know we talked about associations before this, but other types of external organizations to help move the industry forward.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think that's something we're actually really proud to say that we are doing. Like, I think in our company, we really have this strong belief that like everything's good for Bitcoin, which is like kind of a bold statement, but it's like anything that's happening, and you know, albeit there's sometimes that things can get a little wild on crypto Twitter and it doesn't represent the industry well, but I do think conversation and talking about the subject is important. And I think, you know, we personally on our end, we're actually doing a donation this weekend. So for Saturday and Sunday for our birthday weekend, because we just turned 2, we're going to donate sats on each order or Satoshis for your audience that doesn't know Bitcoin that well. It's fractions of Bitcoin to Bitcoin open source developers who help make Bitcoin and this industry great and maintain it. So we're definitely trying to support people who work on Bitcoin and you know, we have like different projects that will help more on terms of a donation level, not really we align or partner, things like that.
So, you know, and I think that's a sort of a good follow-up of how did you all choose, you know, that type of decision to you know, donate, and how does that align with, you know, your communication strategy? Why was that the specific tactical decision you all chose? And yeah, how does that align with the overall message of what you all are doing?
Yeah, so this was actually an idea that we saw Marty Bent and a few other, he runs his own podcast, Tales of the Crypt. And we just thought it was a good idea to support people who are building open source networks and this ecosystem. So we really felt like things like that, if we can contribute to, we want other people to feel like Bitcoin isn't here for the long term. And I think that aligns with our strategy. Other things that we've done on terms of like a donation level or supporting local communities is last year we did a like giving back to teachers during, you know, like back to school time. I know it's really expensive a lot of times for personally, like my parents were teachers and it was so expensive for people to like buy their own school supplies. Like these teachers have not a lot of money and a lot of time they're paying out of their own pocket. And we thought, we're partnered with Staples and an Office Max and a lot of other brands. And why not give them school supplies and some Bitcoin so that they can teach their students about it? So it's like kind of grassroots level things like that too, that we like to do, not only just to support teachers, to support, you know, the everyday person, but also kind of educating them and teaching them about Bitcoin. We want to give people Bitcoin for the first time. And it's exciting to them, you know, especially when it's free.
So, you know, on the education front, how did you sort of come up with, you know, the content to write on the education front, but two, how did you make sure that from like an SEO perspective, and I assume, you know, one of the reasons you're doing it is so customers discover you, that you differentiate from what is out there in the marketplace. So, you know, I'm sure there's companies like Gemini, and for the listeners who aren't familiar with it, Gemini is a cryptocurrency exchange that does a lot of, you know, education. How do you make sure your content is different and appearing, you know, ahead of them on Google? Or are you targeting a different type of education from an SEO perspective?
Yeah, so I think for a lot of the maybe top questions or FAQ questions that you would see on a blog like Binance, we've probably, those are a little bit too hard to win, but there's a lot of other subjects about earning, about how to get Bitcoin for free that are very winnable for us. So, you know, we're working to win those areas, but you know, not everything's for SEO, obviously. Like we just want to be a resource for people, even if we're not going to be, you know, your top search, but because, you know, these companies have been around actually for some of them around 10 years now, that Bitcoin has been around almost it's past a decade now. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult to win some of those, but yeah, I mean, we're looking to be a resource. We're trying to help people understand it. And if I can water down the language a little bit or make an analogy in these blogs that help people understand Bitcoin a little bit more, that's great. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Twitter. We've had some crazy like celebrities and people ask about Bitcoin, and then you see all these people respond. And it's like crazy that we don't have like one really great answer. I don't know if you saw the whole like Portnoy Winklevoss thing, and there was the J.K. Rowling thing. You know, J.K. Rowling was like asking everyone, and everyone was making all these like Harry Potter analogies. I mean, it was just nuts. Like the whole thing was crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, sometimes you get some bad answers, and those are the ones that get, you know, pulled out and retweeted. It's just like, I can't handle these.
So that's a, you know, sort of a good segue of how do you balance on your social strategy, because I know you run the account, the engagement versus like actually adding value. Because I see that, I think, on a both a personal and brand level for a lot of these companies where they tweet stuff and it's like, is this really adding value, or is there some more clickbaity tweet, and are they just doing engagement for the sake of engagement? So how do you balance those two things?
Well, I think, you know, we put out information to our users that we think is helpful for them in terms of the product, but I think it's a lot of it isn't like entertainment value. Like, why should they stay following you is always a question that you should be asking yourself. And if you're not providing some sort of value, whether that be you know, options for shopping, which we don't actually sparkle in too much. Like, we used to put out a lot of our blogs and things like that, which we, you know, we still do occasionally, but a lot of it is more interactive. It's more content that is based around like memes and like meme culture. And then we've really built that out also on Instagram. The Bitcoin meme community is really strong, I guess. It like people are putting stuff out all the time. And so what we do actually on our Instagram account in terms of a content side is we do like a meme review where we rank the best memes of the week, which incentivizes like not only these other accounts to get exposure on our account, but you know, they're pumping out their best content all week, hoping to like rank high. And we, you know, we send them some stats for winning. So it's like a fun, we do try to keep it pretty jovial on social. Like we want people to stay following us. We want to be entertainment and then a resource. So that's kind of our approach.
How do you also approach on an individual level? I know Alex, your CEO, is pretty active on social. Do you tell the employees like, oh, you guys should be active? Is that just more you and Alex, you know, being active? Is there a strategy there as well?
Yeah, so I've actually had like a Twitter training with the employees, just trying to teach, because if you haven't used Twitter, I've used Twitter for 10 years now. And I think that there's important things to know in terms of the algorithm and how it works. And if you engage with a tweet, like if you engage with a large account, how that works for your brand, or if you engage with the company's account, how that works, and sort of having a banter where people feel like they're getting to know you. People like feel like they know you on some sort of level online. They build, you know, a rapport with you. They're inclined to follow you. They care about what you're into, what you're doing, and you know, stemming off from that, your company. So it's all important. I don't. It's almost like a little bit of more psychology, I think, than it is really any branding. I think people really, you know, it's sort of like in a play or like in a movie. There's before somebody dies, they always build up all this like emotional care for the person so that when they kill them off, that you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm so upset about that. What happened to that person? Not c completely the same thing, but like if you know someone, you are kind of invested, you care about them online, and it's really what it is, you know, and by like osmosis, they're a company. So yeah, I mean, I've taught them a little bit about Twitter, but it's also something that you need to like learn as you go. I put like a deck together, but I'm not sure if it was even helpful because Twitter's just so crazy that you can't even really prepare for most of the stuff that goes on there. So I'm like, just try your best. Like, good luck was the end of it.
So, you know, as we wrap up, you know, my last question that I always ask guests is, you know, you've been at Lolli for a bit over a year now. You know, if you were starting over knowing what you know now, you know, what's like the one thing you do differently, or what's sort of that one lesson that you've learned?
I would say to be a bit bolder in my decisions. I felt like I was quite that way. But I think just really trusting yourself. I think that so many young people are so smart. A lot of their instincts are right. And I think they should lean into that. Obviously, you know, get your advice from people, but listen to yourself at the end of the day. I think you're smarter than you think you are. And also look out for yourself because companies don't have your best interests at heart, and especially if you're working at an agency, realize when it's ready to go, and just do what you feel is going to make you the most happy, whether that be based on flexibility, on your salary. It's a component of many things. And so just take all those things into consideration. It's not always the highest paying job. It's a lot of the other parts of the job that are going to make you the most happy in the end.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Well, thanks so much for coming on. You know, for those who are looking to follow you on social or maybe join Lolly, you know, where can they find you or the company?
Yeah, definitely. If you're not signed up with Lolly, go to lolly.com and make an account. And then we have three browser extensions that you can download for Firefox, Google, and then we got Microsoft Edge pretty recently, which is a little bit more privacy focused. And then you can follow me on social at Aubrey Strobel. It's just my name. And then follow Lolly. It's at Troy Lolly. So.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on. And those links will be on the YouTube and iTunes description. But thanks so much again, Aubrey. And until next time, everyone.
Thank you, Ari.